Thank you very much, members. I don't know whether you have questions, further questions to ask before we go to the department. If there is any question. Okay, let's take this moment. During our meeting with the department last year, where we're discussing the annual report, the commissioner promised that he was going to give us either last year or this year the policy on which he said they were reviewing on the purchase of vehicles for the senior manager in the department. Can we be briefed on that one and we be informed as to where that budget is and how much is that budget and what is the policy with regards to that today? Mr. Commissioner?
Thanks, Chairperson. I'll try to answer the easy one. And there are not too many of these ones. So those that are dealing with the environment will deal with them. Madam Chair, let me try with the from A to A, city to city question. Madam Chair, it was said that the decentralization will end up on clusters. It must start somewhere. But we'll end up with clusters. So there are urban clusters and there are rural clusters, which means it will indeed reach on clusters wherever Mbende is in that particular cluster, which means Mbende will be represented in that particular cluster. That's how we need to move in localizing these facilities as we can. Indeed, it's going to take some time because if you are still moving from city to city, it's a big movement that at the end of the day, for to reach what we have spoken about for 24 hours, the shortest time response, we need to be around. Yes. All policed areas, according to the structures of clusters, one day is one day. They will get their responsive science and technology capacities. The second one, Madam Chair, that would like to speak to is the relationship arrest, waiting trial list, correctional service, the chief. Madam Chair, it must be noted that there's been somehow uneven growth of the South African police and other sister components going down. I'm told we've got about 160,000 inmates in the Republic of South Africa, inclusive the sentenced and the awaiting trialist. And that gives about 40% overflowing, if I'm not mistaken. My figures are right, in the facilities. Now, Madam Chair, I gave the figure either yesterday or the other day that says, as South African police, we have 245,000 wanted criminals in South Africa who are not in facilities that we must chase and find every day. 245,000. Let's say we all get out and we find them. Where do we take them? But it is a situation at the present moment. Now, I would agree. I'm not going to sit here and portion blame. There would be cases where the police might not have finished their investigations. But as I said, that the number of police has increased tremendously and is increasing to 202,000. I don't know how much in relation with the prosecutors, Madam Chair, the magistrates, the court themselves, to take those huge figures that police are taking in. We take them in numbers, Madam Chair. There is an operation. Actually, there are operations going on this weekend, huge operations on the wanted list criminals. Last week, I'm sure you saw in Northwest, we went to a party and we found 30. It go boom, highly wanted. Some of them, they own yaks, stolen boats. You could see, we got those boats, the motorbike, the quadrupike, and all those kinds of stuff. 30 of them, boom. So we will be getting, we have a target of this weekend, especially in some three provinces. That would be Gauteng, Northern Cape, and KZN. So we have, so it will be a big number. So I just don't know how this relationship works on that. But exactly the figure that would be there, because they are still waiting for investigation by the police, I would not give that figure exactly. But there is a big figure of the people that are finalized, are processed, and are held up by other processes going forward. Not necessarily the investigation, but they are ready, dockets are ready to be taken to court. There's quite a sizable amount of those people going forward, Madam Chair. The investigation, arresting people and investigating, it will be forever so. When there is a prima facie, I'm sure the attorneys will talk. When there is a prima facie, I will begin to act, Madam Chair. But prima facie does not necessarily mean we have all the information about the cases. The investigation will continue after that. That's why we have a prima facie, we arrest you, and then we go to bail. The extension either get or don't get the pay, but the investigations. Otherwise, it will be some folly if we say we'll investigate, finish the case, all that, and then we begin to arrest you. There will be continuing investigations after I've been taken in. That was, I think, the question from another member, trying to work on that, and those bottlenecks in the whole system. Hence, it's important, Madam Chair, that this cluster grows equally in every other things that are happening. Either it could be science on it, technology on it, but we'll also argue we don't mind the police growing, but we would supported the growth of the whole cluster, even in terms of personnel, so that the intake that has tremendously increased from the South African police is then is meshed going down to the correctional services, which sometimes it gives us I'm told we are arresting an increasing number of the people that have been paroled, Madam Chair. We're arresting quite a big number of people that have been paroled. They are paroled today, they do the same thing the next day. So we have to arrest them, take them back to the system. So I don't know what would be the reason of parole and all that. Sometimes the thing of overcrowding does come, but some people that really sometimes, I still have that idea of a person who in South Coast, in KZN, was paroled, went to got his gun, it would be 2 years back, got his gun, and went and dealt with the witnesses that sent him into prison the next day after parole. So we need to arrest that person again. Is that circle? So really help us going forward. Thanks, Madam Chair. Quite several, but they are all questions in the capable hands of the presenters. Thanks.
Thanks. Chair, I will attempt to answer some of the questions, and in some of the questions, if need be, I will ask my supportive staff to come with backup information. The first issue is crime against children. That is a very touchy issue. It's also very important in our minds to be able to actually deal with this issue. What we must acknowledge that part of the process in dealing with the issue of crimes against children under 18, it has been complicated by, firstly, I would say, within our own institution, we need to have better trained people. But they have to also have, we have to take into account, that the Child Justice Act that was that came into being in 2008 and was implemented in 2010. At that time, when these scenarios were being drawn up in terms of baseline and projected targets, we did not have the Child Justice Act. It has complicated the issue, not complicated in a negative sense. It has created an environment whereby we now have to review the manner in which we deal with conflicts or crimes of children under 18 years. In the past, pre the Act, the question was quite simple. You could charge someone, detect someone, detect them of crime, and now we have to find ways in which we do not criminalize people under 18. So the Child Justice Act is one of the contributory factors in predetermining how we're going to deal with under 18. If I'm correctly understood.
Sorry, just on a point of order. I mean, we're talking about crimes against children, not crimes committed by children. And that your detection rate and your target have gone down. That's what we're asking. That's the question that the members are asking. Yeah.
No, I acknowledge that. I'm saying acknowledge that we need to have people better trained and better equipped. I'm acknowledging that. But the issue over here is that a lot of these crimes are being committed by children under the age of 18 years. And this is the problem that we're having. That in the categories, as explained to us by our forensic, by our FCS units, is that this is a new challenge that's taking place. And we have to do further research to be able to establish what are the new criteria. That's why we, in some ways, brought a much more realistic perspective to the determined targets.
I don't think the presenters do understand the question. I think it was saying against, not by, against the children. What he's answering is answering by the children. You see, we are saying against the children. In other words, those crimes that are against the under 18 years. That's the question I think Angel was asking. Not by the children, which is impact on the act. I understand about that one, but I think the question I was asking the opposite side of your answer.
That will be your missing children, your murdered children, and your target. That is what you're talking about.
Unless he's not saying it. I thought I understood him. If I'm correct, he's going to. I thought he was saying some crimes against children are committed by other children,
I thought that man, that's why now I thought that is where he's coming from. That there might be those other crimes committed by elderly people, but there are crimes which are committed by other children against other children, which now brings in the Child Justice Act. I thought that is what you were saying.
Jefferson, that is exactly what was said. But in order to make such a statement, surely you must have done research to find out exactly what percentage are we talking about. Because you're willing to decrease the crimes committed against children successes based on the fact that some crimes are committed by children against children. Now, what do you base this on? Simply by talking to the FCS? What figures are we talking about? What percentage of crimes are actually committed against children by children? And then in itself, it's not a good enough reason that we can say that we bring the detection rate and the conviction of that down. I mean, I want to refer to the SONA. The president was clear on this issue. Even if it is the case, even if you go the route of the Child Justice Act and you establish an alternative way of dealing with that person, then you have dealt with the issue. So it's not necessary to bring down this rate. It's not necessary to have a lower rate. Even, I mean, the Act says, the Child Justice Act says, yes, I agree, try and get alternative sentencing, etc., etc. But that in itself, Chair, is dealing with the issue. So there's an end result. So I don't buy this that it's as a result of the Child Justice Act and because of crimes committed against children, committed by children, unless you can give us figures. But also then, I'm saying again, once you've gone through the process of an alternative sentencing, you've dealt with the issue. So it's not necessary to bring the dog down.
In fact, sometimes I wonder why the issue of Child Justice Act is a problem. There shouldn't be a problem. It is very clear. In fact, one of the police stations here, I think it is Stellenbosch Police Station, it summarizes that act so correctly. It summarizes it from the time a child commits crime under age, I mean that is below 18, above whatever age, this is what you do, this is what you do, until the case is finalized, your schedule of crime and so on. I don't understand why there must be a problem there. It cannot be, it shouldn't.
And can we also remind you, we're talking about detection rate. We're not talking about conviction. So even if it was a child that committed the crime against another child, it becomes part of the statistics. So your answer is not answering the question that the member raised. And I really want to stress again that this is a priority for government. The president has made it clear.
Jefferson? I don't know if the question is well understood. I think the question says, why did you reduce your detection rate for crime against the under 18s? But I don't think that's what is on the slide, Jefferson. If you go to slide 18, right, detection rate for crimes against children, in brackets under 18, the baseline is 66.27 and target moves to 66 to 70. Unless it's not the question about the detection of under 18s.
Jefferson, can I clarify? What we are saying is that the Child Justice Act is a correct act to have in place. We're not qualming about that. I think the tension that we're having is the systems in which we have in the police. That while I agree with the Honorable Member Van Beek, is that we do finalize the case, but the systems do not capture it as in the case of how we deal with the new Child Justice Act. And this is a challenge that we have to deal with in the coming year to apply that. I think General de Kock is in a better position to actually explain some of the statistics of the day in how we derive the situation. But also, just to add, the lengthiness in which the Child Justice Act commits the police to actually look for outside resolutions to be able to deal with this thing, and the system in which we cannot capture that even if we have detected the person, because we can't charge the person at the initial stage. That's some of the complications of the Child Justice Act. But I want to ask Dr. de Kock to actually substantiate on the process of how we try to deal with the stats, okay?
Chair, before Dr. de Kock deals with the statistics, last year in your annual performance plan, page 11 of last year's annual performance plan, the detection rate was between 76% to 80%. So first of all, the slide, General, that you refer to, the detection baseline audited performance 2009-10 simply means that SAPS didn't achieve that target. That's all it means. Because your target last year was 76% to 80%, page 11 of last year's annual performance plan. Now what we're saying is, your target originally was that. You didn't achieve it. You had 66.27%. That's your audited performance. That's what's reflected in this year's annual performance plan and in your presentation. Now you're decreasing from 76 to 80% to 66 to 70% as a new target. And that is not acceptable. And we're talking again, General, we're talking detection. We're talking detection.
Honourable Chair, I must say that if we only refer to the figure that the National Commission referred to, then clearly there is no, that the target is actually 66% to 70%, which is higher. But the Honourable Member there referred to page 11, which is quite correct, that there the target was much higher. It was actually detection rate of between 68 to 75. So clearly, in that case, I can't give an explanation for that. That the calculation of detection rates and all of these rates when it comes to the detective service is done by themselves. Maybe they can explain that. I also wanted to explain that research up to now indicate that I can confirm what General Lala is referring to, and that is that in the case of children, most of the crimes committed against children is done by children. A very good example of that is we did a study a few years ago, a docket analysis, which indicated that most of the child rape is committed by other children.
In fact, the baseline there was 75.14%. That was the baseline. And the target was 76% to 80%. This means that for the other year, your baseline, in fact, you had achieved 75%. And that is why it was your baseline for the last year's target. And now you are then saying your baseline is, the baseline itself is low, and I think the Honourable Member is correct to say it means this is what you achieved, and your target is lower than the baseline for the other year. Not just for, it's lower. For the past 3 years, in fact, and indeed, this is a.
It is a very worrying concern. But what we are saying is that prior to that, you did not have the Child Justice Act. The Child Justice Act got implemented in the period 2010. Now, our systems are not designed, even if we detect the child to be the perpetrator of the crime. Our systems are not designed to capture that because the law does not allow those processes to be finalized. We have the case will be finalized, but the capturing of the information onto our system, I'm not sure whether the understanding that I'm trying to reflect, that the system that we have to capture on the Child Justice Act in terms of our information systems, the detection rate over there will not be captured on that systems because we can't charge the children. Prior to that, Chairperson, prior to that, sorry.
I'm referring to now. If you have that challenge, that will make it impossible for you to detect anything. Why the number in the first place?
Chairperson, prior to the implementation of the Act, all those children were charged. And it's reflected on our systems. When the Act came into place, we have to be sensitive in implementation of the Act in terms of the prescript of the law. So we can't suddenly charge the children. We have to find alternative resolutions in dealing with the case so we do not criminalize the children and bring them back into the system as criminals. So that's the challenge. We have to try in our systems to be able to create a category that will deal with all these other ways of resolving the issue as part of our detection rate. But that's a learning curve that we have to develop in this new year.
First of all, Dr. De Kock, the figure that you gave were wrong. The chairperson corrected it, and please, let's try and give correct figures. Even if what you're saying is true, General Lala, I still don't agree with what you're saying. First of all, none of you can tell us what percentage, and I'm sorry, saying that the majority of cases are committed by children against children. Prove that to us. Prove it. Based on what? Give us the figures. And if you're able to determine that figures, where did you get it? Because you just told us that your system doesn't allow you to do it. Secondly, what is the problem to adapt the system? How difficult can it be to adapt the system? And thirdly, if all of this has been addressed, and even if you don't adapt the system, why then still do you bring down your detection rate for crimes committed against children? There are still then those that are committed by adults. Why do you bring your detection rate down? And I must be honest, this annual performance plan, Chairperson, is worrying in the terms of that it's silent on the FCS, the Family and Child Protection Units. Silent. And it's a priority. I don't know. I think, Chairperson, we need to get a clearer indication of what the situation is here.
Okay, can people at the back? Are we ready to have the challenges with the implementation of the Child Justice Act? I was told that there's the legal team here. Must we?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair, I didn't hear the question.
I'm saying, must we be really having these challenges?
Madam Chair,
implementation of this.
I cannot really talk to system challenges, but the legal ones, there isn't a problem for pure legalistics.
No, I think we I still don't understand, honestly speaking, General and National Commissioner. I understand what you are saying probably, because I may not be in the situation. But of course, we knew long time ago that this act was going to be effected on the 1st of April. And we knew how it was going to affect us. That today we must be saying these issues, I don't know. But secondly, equally, I don't understand why that will make you to decrease your target. What you have explained, General, I still don't understand really as to why must it decrease your target. And probably it would have been proper that you'd even qualify that in this case we'll be referring to targets for crimes that are committed by adults that we can record. You know, probably then you say we have challenges with these. But you've reduced all your targets. And in fact, you've reduced the target. Crimes against children under the age, those have been reduced. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, they have been reduced. Whether perpetrated by children, other children, or adults. And we think that needs to be addressed. And we think this, and really we're saying that because it is indeed a priority. It is indeed a priority. It is in the State of the Nation address. It is in every other document. And reducing it for us, it doesn't make sense. We'll be more than ready to hear from you as to how you're going to correct those systems that they talk to the new act. Can we continue?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think that will be the best way out, is that we will try and correct and rectify the system. In regards to the baselines of why haven't we determined, why don't we have baselines for court-ready cases? This was a new indicator in 2010-2011. That is to Honourable Member Ndlovu's question. And because we had no precedent in the past of dealing with court-ready cases, we had gone into consultation with the Department of Justice. And in broad discussions, in broad interactions that we have had, that is why we determined that jointly for the period 2010-2011, we will have a figure. And that figure we will increase annually. So that's why we don't have that predetermined figure for court-ready cases. But by the end of April or early May, in terms of the audits and the finalization, we would have a figure, and that figure would be increased by the percentages determined. In regards to the question of training, one of the challenges when we were trying to deal with how do we look at workload of detectives, how do we look at resources? How do we look at a variety of issues? The challenge was that we had to systematically say that this is the number of detectives that you have, this is the number of case dockets that you have, this is the geographical location of where the crimes are situated, and these are where the courts are. And this is how we interact with prosecuting authorities. But we went a little bit further. We felt that while we have a preliminary understanding of the workload, we thought that in order to enhance the two main criteria that we've been assessed with, is the detection rate and the court-ready cases, that we must systematically put place mechanisms in place so that the people who are dealing with those individual dockets can finalize those dockets. What was the limitation? The limitation was training, and then there is a broader limitation that we're having. The broader limitation is sometimes the broader issue of management of these processes at localized, at station, at provincial level. So what we have done is that as management, we have taken a decision that because it's a complex myriad of things, we have decided to put a research into place, or we've had to research the whole issues surrounding workload vis-a-vis, while we are doing that, we are enhancing the process of the individual investigator through training. So that the performance continues, the workload will be reassessed and reevaluated, and we're hoping to finalize that within 3 to 4 months in terms of the study of the workload. We have figures, we have an understanding from Department of Justice, we have a cross-section of myriad of information, but we have to formalize those things and to be able to come back and provide a detailed report to your offices, to the portfolio committee. I won't go into the ideal figure for detection rate because I think this will be found in that process of time. In regards to conviction rate, sometime towards the latter part of 2008-2009, there was in-depth interaction between the prosecutors and ourselves as to how do we deal with the issue of conviction rate. So the issue of conviction rate, we found that there are sometimes external factors involved in conviction rate. The external factors we found were basically how witnesses conduct themselves in courts, and therefore we found that we should rely more on actual tangible evidence that we obtain through forensics. And therefore we have been pressurizing forensics to deal with those evidence, because we have a problem of there are some issues we can't control. Issues of witnesses, contradictory statements. So we're trying to now emphasize more on the scientific recovery of evidence to be able to have conviction rate. So in that regard, at that time, the discussion was that between the prosecutors and ourselves that let's not take responsibility, not a sense of not responsibility. Let's say the truth, that the convictions of individuals is slightly bigger than us. We will prepare the cases for court, and that the new criteria for us to be assessed and evaluated was defined as court-ready cases, and that's why we moved away from conviction. But in the long run, people want to see conviction, and people want conviction. But we have to have lots of things in place to be able to secure that. So for the understanding that we have had between the prosecutors and ourselves, and the discussions that we have had, the determination took place that we will deal with court-ready cases, because the length of the period of the times of the trials and what have you, we cannot capture it. Some trials take 3 years, some trial takes 5 years, some trial takes 1 year, and it will not be captured in the same systematic year. So we're talking about what systems we have in place, and to deal with those systems, how we can respond to the situation. So the conviction rate moved from conviction rate to court-ready cases, because that's how we can assess the individual detective. In regards to the training of detectives, right, the branch commanders, this comes back again to the question of what we're trying to do in place to put individual performance indicators to the cluster commanders, to the branch commanders, and to the station investigator. We are acknowledging the fact that there are some limitations in terms of different stations of training of those people, and we have in the processes put in place training courses for some of those branch commanders to be able to fulfill their task. I'm not sure if there's anything else that I need.
somehow, I don't know how it happens, the general misunderstood my question. The question on the ideal figure was not on detection rate. My question on ideal figures was on detectors, number of detectors or such. What is the ideal figure, and how did you determine that figure? And this answer around convictions, I don't know whether we can really accept that agreement between yourselves. General, witness performance in court is also about the detective's preparation of the witness. It's also about that interaction. How do you, court ready document. I agree with you, it's not your responsibility alone, it's not SAP's responsibility alone. We all agree on that. It's the criminal justice system's responsibility. But surely, there's a difference between having a court-ready case and a court-ready case that actually leads to a conviction. And somehow, some way, we need to measure the quality of the work of the detectives as well, and not only the quantity of the work.
Madam Chair, I must be honest, Honorable Van Beek, I'm very worried about this answer. You know, conviction rate is very, very important. One of the reasons why there are people in this country want to take law into their own hands is because of this thing that people get arrested, go to court, for some reason the person is out there. Sometimes I've read situations where the judge or the magistrate say the police have bungled this case. So and now this is way out. Now you wish out of this meeting that now because you are not this and that, now you are going to take it away. I don't think we can accept it. We still need to know the conviction rate. It's important with all the problems you are talking about. But I still believe that if you put your head together, you can still find a way of giving for conviction rate.
Chair, it links together to my question, therefore, Chairperson. The question that I asked General was that I wanted an average of a case docket per investigator, because all these questions link to that. Because if a person is carrying more than he can chew, at the end of the day, he can't succeed. It's a chain. It's a chain. It starts from where the investigation starts. That is where I ask for the average, not exactly figure, but the average of the state. Why detective? How much? How many detective carries? Because it will make it easy to get all these answers when you start from the beginning. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chairperson, it's a question of the conviction rate again. Well, I hear the member do agree that it's a difficult thing for the police to work on that. Maybe there is a point raised by Member Van Wyk of the quality of the ready docket. But I don't know how much more police can do if your quality is prepared and the quality agrees and the people that will be working on it, they say they agree with it, prosecutors. Including preparing the witnesses seen by that process and all that. But, Madam Chair, I must say, there is a big gap with witnesses, a very big gap. A gap with witnesses is that you prepare them and they are taken to the protection. And many things happen to them there. They get out of that. They phone every day to say, I can't stay here because this has not... It is one area as the JCPS we need to work on it. We do lose witnesses who get out, Madam Chair, because the house is being taken home and all that. But also, in that long kind of staying, you lose the proper strength, but you lose the quality because of the well-being of a person that is there. By the time maybe you go for course, so those are the things. We would love to listen and hear that. We prepare the docket, we say it's ready. People that will use the docket, they agree with the docket to say it's a ready docket, it's a qualitative docket. Then I think basically police would have really contributed maximally to the condition rate doing that kind of thing, rather than to say the conviction is also calculated on police work per se, when people that will deal with the conviction have agreed that the docket is proper and is done accordingly.
Jefferson, I really think this debate can go on and on and on. The fact of the matter is that detectives also give evidence in court. So their role doesn't stop once the docket is ready. There's a role that they play within court as well. And that's what we've been pleading for closer cooperation between detectives and prosecutors as well. We've been told it's happening. But see, the fact of the matter is also, we can't ignore that there are detectives who are not following up on cases. I mentioned, General, the fact that I was a witness to a hit and run and that I haven't been asked for a statement yet. 2 weeks ago, it's months ago, I can't even remember the color of the car anymore. I know it was a small car. That's all I can remember. 2 weeks ago, the investigating officer phoned me and said, can I make an appointment to come and see you? And I said to her, it was a lady. Yes, fine. And we made an appointment for the next day. I'm still waiting. The person didn't pitch up. And the appointment was here in Parliament. Now, if person treats us in that way, what way are they treating other witnesses? So I really think, I'm not saying, and General, you must remember, we said over and over again that we think there are more important things, and it's not the only thing to measure subs against crime figures. There are other things that they must be measured against, because we agree that there are other role players. But I don't think we must run away from our responsibility in terms of a detective, yes, delivering a court-ready document, but the detective's role don't stop there. And I'm not saying that the conviction rate's got to be all and end all. In fact, I've said when I asked the question, even if it's a conviction rate compared to your court-ready documents, because that's why there are suspicions around the walks. That's why there are this belief that the police can't do as well as the Scorpions, which is nonsense. We know what they did. They only reported on those cases that went to court. And we've been pleading with you for years to adapt the system to do the same, so that we know what cases in court are we actually getting conviction rates on. It's a question. One of your priorities in your annual performance plan is to manage crime perception. General, this is a way of managing crime perception. It's a way of reinstating and strengthening the trust that the people have in the police. It's by saying, look at our successes. And that's what we're pleading for. I'm not pleading for failure. I'm pleading for successes. Let's highlight the successes.
No, Chair, it was nature was calling. Firstly, Madam Chair, honorable members, let me thank you for the guidance and direction on these issues, and also the National Commissioner who is supporting to ensure that we deliver on our commitments. Few questions. The first one was the drug storage. I must say that yes, it was a situation that one did not want to continue with. There were risks because we were not destroying the drugs which are no more needed in court. And when you do that, you create a market in internally. So we have put measures in place that we periodically do drug destruction on a quarterly basis. We are doing the destruction of those that are not whose cases have been finalized in the courts. Secondly, we had a number of cases or incidents that were reported before my time. We are following up on those cases. We have six cases which are before the DPP for a decision. So the investigation is finalized in as far as those cases are concerned, that the Pretoria-based cases. We had an unfortunate incident in the Eastern Cape where our own member was found to have been involved. We picked him up through the handwriting. He actually supplied or provided the floor plan of the lab to criminals. And when we got that information, we did the analysis of that floor map, and we were able to pinpoint this specific member. He was subsequently arrested. I think the criminal case is underway. The departmental investigation was concluded, and just last week the disciplinary hearing was finalized, and he is dismissed from the service. We are putting some measures in place in a number of areas. And by the way, the brigadier who's appointed to investigate the disciplinary cases related to the Pretoria or the Silverton lab is here. I've approached General Lala. We appointed Brigadier Jacobs, who is doing the departmental part of the investigation on those six cases that are with the DPP. We also have, in the interim, procured a temporary, storage facility, the containers, so that they can be a proper control of the drugs that are in the labs. We, in cooperation with supply chain management and with the approval of the National Commissioner, are building a drug storage facility in Pretoria, which will take some of those issues that are compromising our security out of the equation. We also put measures in place to make sure that when the drugs are delivered by the stations, they are not kept in the reception area, because there is a risk if they are there in the reception area where anyone could get to them. They are immediately channeled to the area where they are supposed to be stored. And I must say that we do not have we did not have an incident of late. We sanctioned the lifestyle audit of the members that are in the chemistry environment, particularly who are coming much closer to the laboratory to the drugs. That we do in collaboration with General Dramat's people, the anti-corruption integrity unit. So there is some work which we are doing. We are not yet there where we want to be. In terms of there are two things.
Just there, Commissioner Pashan, what does this mean? Are you saying you have a unit that will do what? The one you are explaining.
Sorry, Chair. That's a unit capacity which is in the Hawks to do lifestyle audits. In other words, those members that we have got suspicions, especially following information that we got related to these cases, are to be subjected to a lifestyle audit. In other words, a lifestyle audit to try and check how, for example, they acquired what they have. Because if I am earning, say, 5,000 rands a month, and I happen to have property over a million, you need to put some question marks of how can this person afford this. So that's what we are doing.
Can I just ask one question? You know, when we were in Pretoria, we found some analysts actually removing drugs from a meth. And when we asked as to whether they are checked for any possibility of addiction, you know, they're inhaling, and they actually can take one tablet per day or every day, not sell them, but use them. How are you ensuring that it doesn't happen? Do you have a way of ensuring that it doesn't happen? Because through inhalation of these drugs, they are highly addictive in nature. How are you ensuring that your employees are safeguarded from that?
Thank you, Chair. Let me ask Kenneth Shezi to respond to that one.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, there are processes in place to determine the baseline assessment of all individuals that are involved in the drug analysis laboratory. What that entails is when we recruit people that are coming to work in the environment, we first have to establish what is their status before they begin to work with these drugs. So for those people who are already in the environment, whose testing has never been conducted, we already have a rollout plan for that process to begin to happen. So that should the person leave the environment, we are able to trace back as to where the addiction comes from. Was it at exposure level, or was it at a point when they were sampling out the cases where they got the addiction? But there are processes in place to work out on the medical surveillance of each individual, not only in the drug environment, but to where there are exposure levels that could impact in long term on the health status of the members.
May I continue, Chair? By the way, she is the quality manager of the environment, so from time to time I'll be saying she must come in on some of these issues. Lastly, on the security, there is a delay, and I think General Shabalala mentioned it when he presented on day one in terms of the procurement of the CCTV cameras as well as biometrics, which was processed through CETA, but with the directive of the National Commissioner, we are withdrawing that from CETA so that we can do the advert of that tender through supply chain management to fast track the improvement of security measures within the land.
And the absence of quarterly targets in the APP, because really some of the things that you are saying, Commissioner Patan, we want to monitor them, because you've been saying them for some time now, and they go with budget. And we want to be in a position as this portfolio committee to say how far are you and what are your quarterly targets in this regard. And the absence of that makes it possible for you to say now and last year this is going to happen. Cameras, we've been talking about cameras in the Forensic Science Laboratory for quite some time now, and I want to believe that if we're not careful, we might still be talking about cameras again. And I'm just highlighting that it cannot be cameras every day, because indeed, when we were there, we saw it for ourselves. I think last year, we indicated that some of these, whatever that theft that might be associated, is as a result of absence of cameras. And for us, it means this is very urgent, because it talks to crime out of crime that has been discovered. People are arrested or drugs are confiscated. They go there, then they leave. They go back to the streets, and that is why we thought this must be agent, and that is why I'm just mentioning that the absence of quarterly targets in your APP, the annual performance plan, makes it difficult for us to monitor.
Thanks, Chair. Oh, sorry.
Chair's question just reminded me about something as well. The chain of evidence, you've referred to it in terms of crime scene you know, making sure that the crime scene is protected until crime scene investigators get there, et cetera, et cetera. And I know it's not in your environment. I think it should be, though. The sub 13 stores where evidence are kept. And I know it's in a different environment, but there's really serious problems around sub 13 stores in the way that evidence are kept and the way sometimes we get to sub 13 stores, they're not even marked. Does your plan include addressing that as well? Because I know it's in another environment, but I mean, it speaks to detectives, it speaks to forensic science, the evidence there. You know, it's sometimes we've been to stations where we've got rape kits that hasn't been sent through. And by the time they get to you, I think they expire, you know, they won't be usable anymore. So is there a plan around that?
Thanks, Chair. I must say that long term, when fully implemented, the property control and exhibit management system should take care of that. At this point, I must agree with the Honourable Member when it comes, for example, to rape kits. We are concerned with how long it takes for those rape kits to get to the laboratory, because the longer you keep them there, they lose evidential value. There is also, you know, temperature under which you must keep them, so they can't be left lying around. We are putting, we are trying to enhance our systems to make sure that, you know, they are no delays. When we go to stations with the National Commissioner, I was, for example, at one station called Katkop. Now, when I got to that station, I was told they went into a process of destroying exhibits. And as I was scanning, I realized that one of those that were destroyed is an exhibit related to a rape case, condoms. Now and I'm asking, how did you do that? They said, no, because there is no suspect linked to it. But it's uncalled for to destroy that exhibit, because that's what we need for our database. In case somewhere down the line someone is being arrested, you are able to link that person with that. So you can't simply say, because we do not have a suspect, this one is not going to the laboratory. Laboratories are not only there to confirm this person. They are also there because criminals operate across the borders. What if that person had committed a similar crime in Gauteng and we have got a reference sample? So I can't agree more with you to say it's an area of concern, but we are trying to put measures in place to bridge the gap. And there was a question, maybe the follow-up question of the chair was important, but in responding to this one, targets. Oh, yeah. Well, Chair, I think that was maybe spoken to yesterday. Let me not go far. But in terms of the CCTVs, we embarked on a process to maintain what we have. But we don't want to continue with what we have, because everyone knows where those cameras are, and we are saying we need to have them replaced so that they are being put in strategic positions which are not necessarily known by everyone. If you get into the Silverton Lab, for example, there are areas where you have got the camera. If you were to move the shelves into that particular area, you can do as you wish. So we want to have them located in such a way that no one will know that in this particular area there is a camera. Thus, we went into a process doing a security assessment. It is that security assessment report that we have done which enabled us to proceed to the providers and say, what is this going to cost us? And we found that to secure not only the Silverton lab, but all the labs, including the Criminal Record Center with cameras and biometrics, it was over 40 million. And thus, the tender process is the only way to go to have that procured. But I don't think, Chair, I'll be coming back again and saying we are still going to be doing this. It's a priority. And it's just a question of timeline that we were not able to do it in this financial year, but it's something that would have been done in the very first quarter, once at the end of the first quarter, once the tender is advertised. Issue of strengthening crime scene management, what does it entail? Let me answer this question by using an example. I come from Pretoria, where you had fingerprint experts and photographers, for example, resident in Pretoria, working from Pretoria. Now, if there is a crime scene to be attended to in Atteridgeville or in Mamelodi, you had this one person who had to drive to Mamelodi. Once he did what he was supposed to do, he has to cross town and go to Atteridgeville. And we say, that cannot be allowed. Put that capacity closer to those communities, because we can't keep people waiting for very long. So this means that the aspect that we need within crime scene management environment must be, as the National Commissioner said, located at cluster level. We had one other example. That family of six, I think, General, in the Marian Hill, that burned out during the fire. The issue is, why did it take us the whole day to get the fire experts to Marian Hill? It's because those people are only in Pretoria. Now, we cannot continue at that rate. You need to put this capacity in each and every province so that they are able to respond. The family is already traumatized. Now you put too much pressure and trauma on them if you say we are waiting for an aeroplane to land from Pretoria. And by the way, they cannot fly because of the equipment that they have to carry to get to do the work that they are supposed to be doing. So if each province, and I have noted what the Honorable Ndlovu said in terms of in the rurals, if they had to travel the whole day, they only get to do the work the following day. And what happens to the evidential value of the evidence that could have been retrieved from that particular crime scene? So, in short, what it means with strengthening crime scene management means we have to employ more, train more of these people so that they are closely located to where crime is being committed. Unfortunately, we can't have each and every police station with crime scene management capacity, but they must be there. With the current allocation of the CJS, we, for example, procured vehicles so that you don't have a crime scene management people, three or four of them in one car. We have procured vehicles so that they could go into different directions. We have procured equipment, and we will continue doing that in the coming financial year to enable them to get to the crime scene.
You have figures, Commissioner, of the numbers of people that you're going to train for crime scene management. Because if you're just saying we have two, that will be myself as a politician. Yourself, you have to give us numbers.
Madam Chair, sorry, in the presentation that I was making somewhere, maybe we can go to that particular slide where we said in this financial year we did 700. In the coming financial year, we are going to do 750. And the year thereafter, I think it's 800. And I think it ties up with what the National Commissioner said earlier on when he spoke of qualifications. I think somewhere people were taking him for granted when he said scientists must come to the police. It's real.
In fact, I wanted to ask them that question because thank you for reminding me. I wanted to say, so you're saying you're going to have a 50 people growth or trainees growth or something like that, 50, because if it is 700 last year, 750 this year, it means it's a growth of 50 people. 800, it's another growth of 50 people, is that so? And if, where are you basing that on?
Thanks, Madam Chair. No, the 700, it's literally bodies that we have employed in this year. So next year, we are employing another 750. The year thereafter, 800. And of these people are the scientists that the general has been saying come to the police, and they thought that we are joking. And I agree with you, this is not a Zama Zama organization. Those scientists are coming. There is much more interest from out there. But it requires of us, and maybe that links with the awareness, to go to these tertiary institutions and begin to make it visible that there is home for scientists in this environment. Sometimes, Madam Chair, I get pained when people talk about backlogs while they actually refer to Department of Health as if we work in health. We are in the police and we are doing the work. We have capacity to do the work, and then I think it continues to grow. Forensic awareness, again, maybe I should answer this one by using an example. With the delays, once reports are available after finalizing the processing of reports following analysis, we had an issue with these reports not being collected quicker by the station. So what we then do, we will then designate members to go around and have those reports delivered so that they don't take too long at in the laboratories. And some members, when we get to a station, some members will be asking, but what are these reports for? What is the value of this report? Thus the need of that internal as well as external awareness so that people know. We were busy with our CJS plan, and we have invited Mr. Christos from the Justice. And in their presentation, it was proven that in 82% of cases where there is forensic evidence, in the main, the accused will plead guilty because it's very difficult to dispute. I'm not saying they never dispute. It does happen here and there they dispute, but I think it plays a very critical role in securing the conviction. The Mohani case is a typical example in this case. The sugarcane accused is one such example of how DNA evidence was able to nail that person.
You will end up with a long list of questions to respond in writing. So I think you get a more fast
time. Okay.
You respond to your question.
All right.
But just on this 750, you're recruiting a graduate, science graduate, is that so? Or you're going to schools. How are you doing the recruitment?
Madam Chair?
Who are you recruiting? I just want to know.
Yeah. It is science graduates. We advertise this post externally, and we recruit. It is graduates that we are taking on board. There is a percentage where we also take people who are not graduates, but who has got math and science, because we have got a program to make them acquire an NQF level 5 qualification. a certificate in that particular area. So yes, it is science graduate.
How I wish one day National Commission of Justice said that you probably check as to where most of these people come from, because in the main they will surely be coming from, you know, urban areas and so on. I'm just asking this question because I happen not to come from an urban area. I don't come from Pretoria. I come from a very rural area out there, and surely you might not get one from that area. And I think maybe something that the department might have to look into to say how are we going to ensure that other people with science from rural areas are also recruited into our science laboratory, that it's not just a, you know, for those that are in the advantaged areas. I'm just saying it. And I can tell you, Honorable Dudu, who agrees with me.
Madam Chair, the awareness should be part of it. We'll check what is there. But I went to Maibuye High School. I spoke about this medicine science. Everybody laughed. They thought Pell is out of his mind to talk about math and science in the South African police. This awareness, I think, must be a campaign, but also monitor how it works and who comes. In terms, not just in terms of the locations, but in terms of demographics and location and all, need to spend, because it's going to be a very big new contingent within the South African police that has not been there. Not only the Madam Chair, they need to go out and get chartered accountants, the hawks, chartered accountants and all those kinds of people. So when you talk about those people, they just laugh at you. It is one area. The pilots, Madam Chair, is one area where we are trying to reach out there. I remember Captain Ledwaba. He's a very young and real tiny. I had a serious problem for the first day I had to be in the helicopter that she was choppering, looking at her and all. But now I really liked. So I think there are two as those African women. So we need to spread it. We need to say this is a home of everybody, and in a high quality kind of individual human beings in South Africa.
Thanks, Chair. Let me try and move with speed. There was a question related to the GSPS, the monster as we refer to it in the lab. We are still utilizing the GSPS, Madam Chair. I have sanctioned a study. I want an efficient to know how efficient is that instrument. You'll recall it cost us over 72 million, even if it was donated to the service. It is a very expensive instrument, and the maintenance is a little bit high on it. I don't think we will have another GSPS once it reaches the end of its lifespan. It's one of those that should be decommissioned. But in terms of what it does currently, success rate, 2008 it was on 33%, 2009 45.8%, and 2010 48.26%. I can't tell at this stage what its success rate in this year is, since it is a month ago that I have sanctioned that particular study. Let me not go into the nitty-gritties of how many samples it's processing and so on. Safe to say that once the report is delivered, we will be able to take a decision. Yes, it's been used together with the manual process. We will be going against the wishes of our own government by automating all processes in the labs. it will be fruitless for me to go and employ all these people that need to be employed if everything needs to be automated. The manual system is working for us. We need to improvise. It's delivering in this regard. Thus, I'm talking of somewhere in the future, not now, because we need to get return on investment in terms of what went into that machine. Madam Chair, you spoke about...
There is a hand, but in fact my question on that one was to say compare the cost and output that we get, that is value for money, between GFPS and the manual. It was based on that is, are we getting value for money? Could we have taken the route of manual and not wasted 72 million? Or has this been value for money, GFPS? And I'm asking that question because I understand you're moving to yet another system. And that is why I also am checking whether the system that you'll be moving to now is better than GFPS. So it's another Marshall, it's another GFPS.
No, it's actually that same issue about value for money. You've spent 452.9% on consultants, stroke professionals, over expenditure. What were these consultants for? What were these professionals for? What result did we get?
No, Madam Chair, I'm not aware of that figure. Is it the forensic or is it the laboratory services? No, ma'am, I honestly cannot answer on that one. I will have to go into it so that we can advise accordingly. And maybe also on this GSPS comparative analysis, it may be something that we have to revert back to you in writing once I have the reports. As I say, it is a study that we have commissioned, and there is not yet delivery on that one. But on the reference, lane and the CI lane, we have put measures, Madam Chair, to avoid the repeat of what has been happening there. We have, for example, put an expert forum, which forum need to entertain presentations on research that was done and the kind of instruments or equipment that we would want to procure and introduce. Thus, when the CI lane is something that was initiated before I went there. There was already a tender, but we have agreed that you can't go and procure for all the labs without having went through a process of ensuring that there is validation and so on and so on, and that there is return on investment, and that it's going to be adding value. So there is only one which is currently, I'll use the language, piloted in Pretoria, which we should have the final decision by the end of June after it went through the processes. So I think even with the research capacity that we talk to, we should not end up in that kind of a situation. You asked, Madam Chair, about the Marshall system. I was hoping I was not going to be asked this question because it happened somewhere in 2007, 2008, but having been part of the management and knowing how this issue has been raised, myself and Colonel Shezi went after we received information to one or two suppliers who we believe are the people who did what the disassembling and so on of the Marshall system. Our study is not yet concluded because we want to know at the end of the day where did that machine end. So maybe we can then advise you later on that.
Can I ask one question? National Commissioner, we have been asking the question about Marshall Machin for a long time now. And Marshall system and the department being a department, really, it cannot be true that we'll be asking one question over and over and over again and the department seem not able to respond to the question. I want to believe that at some stage we must be able to know as to where is the Marshall's machine, what happened. We must be able to get that answer because the department must be able to respond to that question. And who summoned the dismantling of Marshall's machine and who did that? Where was that? When was that? What happened to pieces? We've been asking this question. It was at the time when Commissioner Dudoit was the head, and we're still asking that question, and we seem not to be getting an answer. And this is in the department, and I don't believe it is correct. But I just want to ask a question, Commissioner Patlana. Who is the project manager for these lanes, your reference index lane, your crime index lane? Can it happen that you have one person who was the chair, the project manager for Marshalls, that is a problem before us, probably GSPS as well, and you have same person, these failing systems, and we continue to put one and the same person? Just want to know.
Madam Chair, that has been addressed. It is part of the streamlining of functions that is taking place. So we just move that person solely to go and focus on quality and management, because she was doing quality assurance, she was responsible for the GSPS, and she and what else can I say? I think she was responsible for a number of things, we do not agree with that approach. So we have moved there so that she can only focus on one aspect, and have given that particular task to other people, for us not to end up in the situation that we find ourselves in.
These lanes, Commissioner, can we now say we have the best system? We're not getting another GSPS, we're not getting another a Marshall's machine, we're getting something that is going to be sustainable, that is going to produce results. You've tested that. We're not going to come back and say the problems are around this. Have we done our homework properly that we can actually say without any fear of contradiction that going forward we have the systems that are going to work for the country?
Do you want to, maybe Kenneth Shezi must speak on that one?
Thanks, General. Yes, thank you, Chair. The systems that are implemented now are currently undergoing a validation process, which process will complete end of June 2011. From those systems, we should be able to determine the efficiency rate, whether they are producing as expected, whether they are meeting the quality standards as set, and whether or not they'll be able to assist with the implementation of the bill as well. So the outcome of that system or the report or the study that is in place will include the validations, it will include the output levels of the machine, and whether or not it is giving the results as expected. Only then we'll be able to base our decision on whether to roll out on the entire systems or to continue to focus on the semi-automation systems. But currently, we wouldn't have an answer until that process is completed at the end of June 2011.
But what does that mean? In terms of, is this a contract? What does this mean in terms of money, spending, and so on?
A national tender has been advertised, Chair. That means we can procure, should that system work according to our needs, we can be able to procure 10 systems and roll them out, because now all the validations on the crime type of samples shall have been done, and the systems will then be rolled out to all the other processes. It is not quantified to say we are purchasing 10 of such systems to be rolled out altogether. We can only procure on condition that the system that is implemented now satisfies all the requirements based on our system. Only then we'll be able to roll out. Should it fail, then it means we do not continue with the entire project.
you. There was a question, Madam Chair, on IT systems. There are a number of them. There is FSL Admin, the SLS, the EMS, the DNA Star Lab, there is IBIS. There is also in the Criminal Record Center environment, AFIS, CRIM Systems, LCRC Admin, Circulation Systems, including firearms. There is the national NPIS, photographic identification system, and there is Judis. Now there is the newly.
Can I stop you on that one? I mean, Commissioner, can you respond to that question in writing? Because I think as you are mentioning the names, we are not catching up with the list. And explain to us in writing as to how effective they are when you have so many systems in place. On that one. But who is responsible for IT system in the department, for the CJS, the DNA testing, I mean, database? Is it one person again?
Madam Chair, in terms of IT systems, that remains the core business of Division Technology Management, General Shabalala. We derive our support from that environment. Sorry, ma'am?
In the forensic laboratory, the IT system in the forensic, I think it's overall. Now I'm talking about the forensic.
In the forensic environment, there are two people from his environment that are designated to support us, and that will be Colonel Masuku and Colonel Pillay, Lisa Pillay. They are actually structurally part of General Chavalala Technology Management Environment. And then on the DNA database, it's a responsibility located with Colonel Joe Smith within the biology or DNA environment. Oh yeah, CJS, Madam Chair, who is responsible? As the Divisional Commissioner, I'm charged with that responsibility, and I guard it jealously. That's why we could not realize expenditure in the first two quarters of the financial year, since what was there on the plan was never going to be something that I was going to agree with. And that's why I can confidently say to you that we will spend. I have approached the National Commissioner to assist me in creating project management capacity within the environment. And unless the boss changes after this meeting, we have an agreement that someone is going to be appointed reporting directly to me to ensure that I'm supported in managing the... but the National Commissioner won't change. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Maybe the last one, which I think I forgot to ask General Hassan, is with regards to expenditure on kits and other equipment that is bought and not utilized. When we visited the laboratory, we found quite a number of those. But it's possible, and in fact, I think I'm aware that there might actually be other kits that were bought and they expired, having not been utilized. And I want to know, what is the amount of money that was spent on those kits?
Madam Chair, I will unfortunately not be able to give figures offhand, but I must agree with you that that's the kind of situation that we have inherited, but there are measures to cap that. What we have done, once I've seen how many of those kits were in store, we facilitated the distribution of them to service points where they are needed, because there is no need for stations or units to go and buy things like gloves, which are part of the protective clothing or protective gear. them going to buy while we have got a supply, so that was distributed. In terms of the kits, yes, there has been some of them distributed. Unfortunately, those that had already expired, you could not distribute. We continue to do that auditing and costing so that we can take steps against the people involved. There are, for example, kits that were procured for machines that were never utilized in the environment. And for me, it's criminal that why then do you go and destroy? Why did you buy in the first place? Because once you buy this machine, the machine must become operational. And if it needs this and that to operate, you buy, then you use. Not buy for storage purposes. Who are we enriching in the process? So that's some of those that are taking our time in the environment to try and clean up.
Yes, thank you very much, because indeed it was happening that people would just purchase for the sake of empowering a person somewhere there, and they would keep them there till they expire, and it was well and good. I want to close, but I'm not sure whether members do have questions that they want responded to. I'm about to close this meeting. In fact, I thought I would want to check if I were to apply for employment in the forensic laboratory, do you consider my application?
No.
He says no. Honorable,
thank you very much, Chairperson. I also want to make a follow-up with regard to the question that I have asked, with regard to the ratio of the mentors. I didn't hear the response on that regard. The mentors, how many detectives are? Yes.
In most places, we have come up with the solution of two trainees to one mentor, but in some stations, depending on the proximity, it will be three or so. But we're trying to keep it as limited as possible. Thanks.
Listen, I've got a number of questions that I haven't asked, but I've given it through to you, and I would appreciate it if that can be part of the written questions that come back, but I'm still waiting for the answer on what is the ideal detective number, if you've got one, and how did you arrive at that?
At the current moment, our total capacity of detective services is 26,000. In terms of at December 2010, we had done some degree of analysis on the number of dockets we have had. The number of dockets that we have had in total was in the region of between 1.2, it might increase as well, about 1.2 million. But taking into account the number of detectives, if we have to categorically separate it like that, we exclude the Public Service Commission members. We have currently, if you call it an average, between 45 to 50 dockets per person. But what we are saying is that average will vary because of the way the administration of dockets took place at localized level. Some will have more, some will have less. So if you're looking for a rounded figure, that's the figure that we have contemporarily, but we believe, and we have discussed this in great detail amongst ourselves, that we need to throw in resources to identify or to be able to do proper research into this matter and take it from there. But that's what the figures that we have of it.
Chairperson, sorry, in the criminal justice revamp, there was a figure provided. Are you still working towards that figure, or have you now discarded that figure totally?
No, we haven't discarded that figure totally. This is part of the package that we want to bring into the research process, because there are conflicting opinions about the matter, and it becomes a bit clouded. But what we are saying is that we have, we want to include this in the new research as management have determined that we will deal with it. Thanks.
Chairperson, there is
as you said, a serious discussion, because at one stage there was an argument that a third of the service must be detectives. The argument was between Visible and the detectives. Visible had a problem with the work of the detectives, and detectives said to Visible, if you can do your Visible work, there'll be no need for detectives, because they won't be able to commit crime if we pump up our Visible and preventative measures. While I agree with Member Van Wyk that there is an issue with the revamp criminal justice system. It's argued in many ways. There are quite a big for. There are elements that will definitely work on it. But as a complete document, there is a serious concern about some areas. Hence, we have put ourselves to work, even on the research. The service of this on this environment, because detectives in other countries will be less than the general police because of the things that are happening and all that. So we want our social environment in terms of vis-a-vis crime, the figures in terms of prevention and in terms of detectives of that. So we think we will be able to quick come with exact informed figures going forward to that. But the figure as they're given at the present moment, it might happen that those are even correct figures in terms of quantity. But there is this big issue of quality, which we are trying to work on it.
I know you want to close. I just want to make a remark. See, you know what? If you listen to the 3 days presentation, there's some very good things coming out. There's some positive plans, etc., etc. The problem is exactly that. The annual performance plan is not reflecting it. It's not reflecting these plans. It's not reflecting how you're going to reach it. And SAPS did themselves a great disservice. I don't know who's responsible to draft this plan. I don't know whose baby it is. But SAPS did itself a great disservice by giving us this annual performance plan. It's not reflecting what we've heard over the 3 days, Chair. I just thought it's important that we do so, because there are positive things that are coming out.
Yes, National Commissioner, we want to close. I'm not sure whether you want to, in fact, I don't know, you want to make closing remarks before the chairperson does. So I will allow you to do that.
Chairperson, it won't be really long. We have been here. Some are lucky, they've been coming and going. Some have been very unlucky. They've been embedded on these chairs on different days and different tempers and tempos. I think going forward we have found the pointed way, our short left or other short right on the matter going forward. Madam Chair, everything we do as a South African police is just for one sentence, just one, to make sure that people of South Africa are safe and feel safe. That any other thing we do culminates on that statement, on that understanding as a South African police. Whether it's administrative, whether it's operational, whether it's whatever it is to achieve that with our sister components going forward. And we have said we will listen. And indeed, there are quite several things that we've listened coming from the portfolio committee and trying to implement. That includes, Honorable Chair, the oomph and zeal that you have put on us to
visit stations, I must say, it was not much on the tradition of the management. But you have made us to I'm sure you have had quite several references. Because indeed, to sit in Pretoria and receive the written report is a complete different with different tools going to the station and see things. Including the redirection and revisiting of our strategic plan because of things not that you have heard, things that you have seen. So I think we did take a serious cue from the portfolio committee on sending out the management. But Comrade Chair, but Honourable Chair, it must be understood, and it's a request that is very humble, that we do request a space of engaging, maybe without some intimidation sometime, just to be allowed. We cannot be right all the time, but again, we can't be wrong all the time. So it's a request that sometimes, especially for this session, you would not believe, Honorable Chair, almost 90 issues that were raised, we discussed them. And sometimes we take time discussing them, reaching that, which can be still wrong even after the time, but which can be right, and maybe we are short of space now here to go and cover the path we've walked to reach that. So we will request that we are given that space. Sometimes you feel that having discussed the matter for this long and reached that kind of resolution, that space is not here. And I really loved what Honorable Member Bamdlovu said yesterday, that we are working for one outcome. You just want to oversee that we are doing things right and all that, but we believe there are issues that we have discussed and we have really looked at them. Madam Chair, I'm sure we will be going forward on matters, even sometimes on the question of understanding and interpretation of the things, without really taking an issue, without really saying we are trying to be pompous or arrogant about the matters. But it must be remembered that it will help us to have a very good understanding and then going forward. There are issues that you have made, Madam Chair, and the committee made, the quarterly targets. It does make sense to check us rather than going for a year and come back. It does make sense. It does make sense, some details. But also, one general yesterday said, yes, these targets with the general presenting yesterday. How far do we go with those elaboration on these documents vis-a-vis elaboration per agreement, performance agreement with the individual environment? So all those things, they can be reached with discussions that we expect this to happen, maybe be allowed to say, if it happened this way, maybe these are consequences of this. And then we continue where we believe it makes a sound, and there are quite several sound suggestions that have been made, but also be allowed to make the input. Chairperson, I don't know how we can get the forum of interpretation of documents so that it will be dangerous for us to stay with our interpretation. But sometimes we believe that interpretation we really understood. We have been looking at the submission this time, and I must admit, we got a vicious shambles of it because we did not do correct as the chair on behalf of the committee raised it. Submission, especially the submission of the APP and all that. Chairperson, I will be going and looking at this treasury document again on those interpretations. I might not read it here, but it's here that tells us of annual performance plans should be tabled in February. However, in 2011, institution can be tabled annual performance plan 2 months after February. So those are the things that maybe we will be reading on those documents, and we really wish, Honorable Chair, to be on the same par in terms of understanding of these informing documents that speak to all of us, or with the interpretation to be on one on it. So it is, but in closing, the police, I want to repeat, are having it tough out there. I was reading another report here, I think a student somewhere in Durban. They are injured by the students. And I'm told there are few students that are injured. Chairperson, we will be really working on the question moving towards elections and to see that as a big next operation, we work on it as South African police with the assistance that will be coming from everybody else, including the portfolio committee. But at the present moment, I think there is a bit of a stress out there. Very lastly, we take everything to put it on our way going forward, positive as it has been suggested, instructed, and given to us by the portfolio committee going forward to make sure that people of South Africa are and feel safe.
No, thank you very much, National Commissioner. Let me once more take this opportunity to thank the department for appearing before the portfolio committee. One of the public members yesterday wanted to attend this meeting, in fact this meeting, but wanted to find out if he would be allowed to ask questions to the department. And my response to this gentleman was that no, you will not, because I am there representing you. I am a public representative, and as such, I'm going to ask questions on your behalf. And I promise this person that I hope to ask all the questions that he has in his mind. And he then said, okay, I agree, but I will therefore not attend. I will listen, if possible, over the TV, in fact, radio, and so on, if indeed you are covering all my questions. The point I'm making is that we are here as public representatives to represent people of South Africa. To date, there are about 24 million registered voters, but we have plus minus 49 million people out there. And we are here representing all those people because all of them can be affected by this state of crime. And it is in that spirit that we take our work seriously. We try to do the best as members of parliament. And where we fail because we are human beings, and as such, we cannot be perfect. National Commissioner, my own view is that, in fact, I come from a school of thought that says I must be able to answer why for anything that I do, including the correct things that I do. I must be able, when I'm asked as to why did I sit here to chair this meeting, which is correct, I must be able to respond to that question as to why am I sitting here and I'm chairing this meeting
which is correct. And equally, I must be able to respond to a question that says, why did you arrive late? If I arrived late, I must be able to respond to that question. So I come from a school of thought that says I must be able to respond and to account for anything that I do. And that equally goes to the department that is expected to account to this portfolio committee and to parliament on anything and everything it does. And when we ask questions, it will not be because we are saying it is wrong, but we expect the department to be able to provide answers to whatever that it is doing. We have had 2 days of vigorous interaction with the department. Somebody might think that it's long, in fact 3 days are too many, but we also can agree here that we have not been able to ask all our questions, and the department has not been able to provide answers to all the questions. As such, we will be expecting written replies on some of our questions. This, of course, talks to the very fact that this is one department that is regarded as an apex department, as a priority department, as crime fighting and corruption fighting is priority number 5 in this administration. And it is in that spirit that we think equally we must do things in a manner that talks to that fact that it is a priority department. We have therefore raised quite a number of issues during our interaction with the department. I will just want to cover a few. Regarding the 4 to 7% target, we believe that the department, in fact the National Commissioner, must be in a position to raise our question within the cluster where he sits. And indeed, we said yesterday that it will be important that we are provided with information in this regard, information that is scientific-based, that is evidence-based, but also information that talks to international best practices that led to that decrease from 7 to 10 to 4 to 7. We do not believe, as this portfolio committee, that somebody woke up the following day and decided that no, now we're decreasing from 7 to 10 to 4 to 7. Because if that is the case, then we will have serious challenges in accepting that decrease. As a matter of fact, the position of the portfolio committee, unless I am talking for other members, is that we can't accept this 4 to 7 without any information that says there was thorough work done to come to that conclusion. Also, regarding to targets, good as we understand that the department agreed to accept the JCPS cluster targets, but we are saying for reporting and monitoring purposes, we need the department to break these down into separate categories. For instance, crimes dependent on police action and those that are not dependent on police action. We think it will make it easy for the portfolio committee to monitor that. Also, in 2011, we expect that the department will purify the sexual offences indicators into 2 categories. Those that are dependent on police actions, for instance, your prostitution, and those that are not. We expect that we're going to get that. It is our believe that in your APP, surely there must be an indicator or indicators for railway police station and police, and we think that they must be reinstated. We also agreed on questions that need responses by Tuesday. They are related to administration program. I'm not very sure whether we need to write those down or to tabulate those, but you'll remember we could not respond on the question of the completion of the DEP and not police station. The department said it is 99%. Member said no, it is not, and I think we need to know exactly as to where is the completion of the police station. There was a question regarding the Bird Wang police station, which is in the forest, which we said you promised to look into. You promised that we are going to, in fact, we said you must provide us with a list of names of stations which will receive services. Remember, you said there are police stations that do not have electricity, sanitation, and water, and you said you're going to attend to this, and we are requesting that we be provided with the list of those. The expenditure for the management sub-program is at the end of the fourth quarter, broken down accordingly. We'll be happy to get that information in writing. Issues related to lateral entry appointments as per Section 45 of the South African Police Service Employment Regulations. How many appointments have been made using this section and at what level and why? I think on this one we'll be more than willing to provide the department. In fact, I think the department has those questions, but we will also, to ensure that they respond to all questions, we're going to provide those questions to the department. But we're not saying the department must wait for us because the department was here. But what we're saying is that to ensure that we get all the responses on our questions, we are going to forward those. I want to believe that, National Commissioner, there is a need for us to meet again to discuss issues related to Tetra and issues related to PKM. I think we did not have enough time to discuss that, and as a matter of fact, we believe that should be discussed in a separate meeting. I also want to believe that, seeing that we are not sure as to how far the SIU is, as the portfolio committee, we might probably have to consider writing a letter to the SIU or inviting them to come and brief us on the progress they are making in the investigations that were announced by the president. It is in our interest to know the progress that the department, in fact, the SIU, is making. We will definitely be interested to know, in terms of technology, whether the department is ready to implement the Criminal Law Forensic Procedures Amendment Bill, the fingerprints aspect of the bill, the one that is before the president, which might be signed any day, today, tomorrow, or whatever other day. If the department is ready to implement that bill in terms of IT, as it was said here in the meeting. Can I again make the department aware that after each visit to the province, to the police station or police stations, after these meetings and interactions, we compile reports. And in those reports, we make recommendations. Those reports are tabled before Parliament and they are adopted by Parliament, and as such, they are expected that the department should implement. Where it is not able to do so, must respond, must actually in writing explain why it cannot implement those recommendations. Up until now, we have not been made to believe that the department is indeed reading those reports or is receiving those reports. If it does receive them, probably there isn't any way where for now we can actually say this is talking to those reports, except for a few areas. We are therefore hereby encouraging the department to please get those reports. I can say here today that we adopted quite a number of them recently, and they are available. They are meant for the department and no other entity but the Department of Police, because they are from this portfolio committee. and we are encouraging the department to get those reports, to read them and see if some of the recommendations that are there are attended to. They speak to concrete things that we discover when we visit police stations, and of course recommendations that we make. But I must say that on others, of course, the department, even before we submit the report, out of what we say the department responds, for instance, with regards to the Philippi Training College issue, I think it was attended to. National Commissioner, I therefore will want to say we are accepting, as this portfolio committee, the document that was presented before us, which is the annual performance plan. We also are accepting other documents that were sent to the portfolio committee as supplementing and complementing that document. And therefore, those are formally accepted by the portfolio committee, but of course, like it is indicated and it was indicated, we are hereby requesting the department to compile one document that will include all these other documents that we sent later, because it makes it very difficult for the portfolio committee to refer to all other documents. As a matter of fact, if I must tell the truth, I still do not know as to where other documents are right now, because there are so many of them. So we are accepting the annual performance plan for the department. We, however, request the department to compile one document informed by all the other documents that were forwarded to the portfolio committee to make it one document. We will request that the department forward that document to the portfolio committee, of course, through the minister, by the 30th of April. That will be, I think it will be on the 29th of April, that will be on a Friday, so that we can then have one document to keep the department accountable. In fact, to hold the department accountable to when we have to do that as the portfolio committee. I want to say again, we believe as the portfolio committee that police are fighting crime, and we are appreciating that. We believe that this management, particularly at this level, can assist and make it possible for the police to fight crime even more and to be successful in fighting crime. It is in that spirit that we hold the department accountable, but also it is because we are just here to do that, to hold the department accountable. Can I say that I am paid for being a member of parliament, and I'm expected to do my work. I take an oath when I become a member of parliament, and I'm expected to do my work to the best of my ability. That is what I am trying to do, and I endeavor to do every day, so that when I go to sleep in the evening and I say to God, thank you, I'm saying that because I think I was honest myself in doing my work. Might be possible that somewhere people might feel that, but you are tapping on our toes. It is in the spirit of doing my work, which I'm paid for, which I'm not volunteering to do, which I'm paid for. In those few words, let me thank the department, let me thank you, National Commissioner. We intend inviting the department to come before the portfolio committee to tell us more about this festive season when duty call operations. We will give the department a date, because I think it is a successful story for the department. And I think it is important that the department comes and before the portfolio committee to tell us, but to tell the people of South Africa as to what that operation is all about and what are the successes of this operation, which as the portfolio committee can agree that indeed it is a successful story. I thank you very much. Thank you all for being here, and this meeting is adjourned.